One of the many perks of coming over to Walt Disney World is meeting the people behind the scenes that create all the magic. And when you have the title of Puppet Master, you're like a very cool person. James Silson is joining us. You're the show director for Happily Ever After.
I am.
But I'd look at your bio and go, what haven't you done for this company? 19 years, and I mean, that's some serious credentials going on here.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey. You know, I've been fortunate enough to wear a bunch of different hats in this company, one of them being Puppet Master, which oversees a lot of how we use puppetry in our parks, and then and of course show director, which has allowed me opportunities like directing Happily Ever After.
Now, being a puppet master in 19 years, I mean, the evolution I think has been incredible.
Absolutely,
we were talking about seeing the animatronics, and it's a small world, and then going over to Pandora. It's like, wow, how far we've come. What do you think has been the best part of the creative process here for you?
Well, you know, it's like you said, you know, being a part of this magic that continues to reinvent itself at Disney, you know. Yes, in our puppet world, of course, we've continued to expand and push the boundaries in that. But also in our technical world, in our entertainment world, you know, every time we approach a new project, we try to push that envelope just a little bit further and open up more opportunities to see magic in a whole new way for our guests.
So with Happily Ever After,
yeah,
what did you push there?
Well, you know, that is the third spectacle for Magic Kingdom that we've ever done. The one prior, Wishes, was amazing, one of my favorites, actually. But that was just music and pyro, you know, fireworks and some lighting. And
when you say some lighting at Disney, some in quotation marks.
Some lighting. just beautiful gobos on the castle and that kind of stuff. And just, you know, it was really a beautiful show. But with this Happily Ever After opportunity, we decided to really expand that technological, kind of a show. And so we've added a bunch of things. Of course, we added a lot of lights, you know, over 65, 70 lights behind the castle, on the castle, around the castle, in the hub. And then, of course, lasers on the castle. We utilized our projection mapping in a kind of a very new, exciting way for the castle, expanding that onto the extended towers. And, of course, you know, we play with the pyro and figure out new ways of using pyro.
We play with the pyro.
I know. To me, that's what it is. It's all toys. For me,
everything is a toy.
I look at everything and I'm like, oh, what do I get to play with this time? Ooh, this would be fun.
So you're the perfect hire here. Because you walk onto the property and you're immediately a 5 or a 10-year-old kid again.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the best.
And I think that's part of the fun of working here in the creative world is that, you know, you're always being asked to kind of dig deep inside and find that 6-year-old, right? That, you know, that's and then figure out how you can create something that speaks to that child within, right?
Yeah.
And if you are successful with that, then you'll be successful for your audience, right?
Now, when we're talking about Happily Ever After,
yeah,
I saw video before we came over here of it, and it was my jaw was dropping like every 3 seconds. How do you do? I know you're not going to give anything away, but the process is amazing.
Yeah, you know, and it's. I think every process is slightly different, right? It depends on what you're working on. With something like Happily Ever After, as spectacles in general, I would say that, you know, the music is really ultimately the foundation of the entire piece. And that is, if we can get the music right, then everything else starts to be layered on top of that. You know, of course, every single element brings its own level of difficulty and challenge. But the music, you know, that's what really tugs at the heartstring. That's your emotional foundation. And so, you know, with Happily Ever After, we, you know, it gave me a great opportunity to ask that we look at our music differently, and how do we use our music in the show, and can we rearrange songs, and can we use them in different ways to make the audience hear the lyric differently for the first time, as if the song is the first time they're ever hearing it.
So you gave me a chill just talking about that. When I was walking into Animal Kingdom, I Can't Wait to Be King was playing, and coming out it was Circle of Life. It's like, oh. the process with Disney and music is amazing, and you have the most... You pull at our heartstrings in a way nobody else can. I'm always guaranteed to laugh, cry, and be happy at the end of a movie. You've got a process that just works.
And I think that's also, I mean, for us in Disney Parks and Resorts, you know, we have the great fortune of getting to use this astounding music from our films that really, like you said, it does pull at the heartstrings, and everyone remembers where they were when they heard a Disney song every time, and it pulls you back to your childhood, or it links you to your family, or reminds you of someone you love. And so as you're, you know, going through this music, you know, half the battle is already done for you, truly.
Well,
it's just putting that music together in a new way for our audience. But really, I mean, the minute you hear, like you said, Just Can't Wait, Circle of Life, you're like, oh, that spoke to me. Well, it speaks to everybody in some way, you know?
What was your very first Disney memory? How far back can you go in your memory bank?
My very first Disney memory, I was 9. And it was my first experience with Disney. It was actually Disneyland in California. And I was walking down the street. And coming up the street, up Main Street, was Robin Hood. And back then, you know, Robin Hood is a character. We don't see that often anymore in our parks. But he's still around somewhere. And back then, he was strolling around Main Street with his entourage of, you know, other characters from Robin Hood. And literally, I turned to my mother, and I have a twin brother as well.
I was just going to bring
that
up.
Actually, a whole family. You know, there's a lot of us. But we, you know, I turned to all of them. I'm like, it's real. They all live here. They really live here. And that's my first memory of Disney.
That's a cool memory. Yeah. One of my colleagues here down on the other station has her little boys with her, and he had his first meeting with Mickey yesterday.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
It was one of those mommy moments you will never forget. Probably underscored by some great music in the background, too.
Oh, absolutely. And it's something that she won't forget either.
Absolutely,
you know?
Not.
And especially now in today's age with iPhones and everything else, like we're all using, our entire life is now, cataloged in video. You know, when I was a kid, it was like, oh, I hope we have this on video somewhere. Now it's like, you can't, I mean, everyone has video of something, you know?
Something. So what's your next project?
Well, you know, I'm working on a few things that I can't talk too much about.
See,
unfortunately.
That's what I always get at the end. That's the wonderful world of Disney. I'd have to kill you.
Yeah. Well, I won't kill you, but safe to say that there's more exciting things coming in the future.
You know, I'm looking, there's all these little like Toy Story Land figures around. Okay. Hint, 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 guys, but we'll have to wait a year or so for that. James, thank you so much. James Silson, the show director for Happily Ever After, and an immense line of credits.
Oh,
and a twin
brother
who's also a puppet master.
Yeah, he is. What's funny, so I'm puppet master for East Coast, basically, like Walt Disney World.
And he's West Coast?
And he's the West Coast. He's Disneyland puppet master, which we both came to the company at the same time. You know, and our background was really music and performance, not puppetry. And then we came into this company and started puppeteering for the very first time. And now, you know, years later, we're both puppet masters on different coasts, which I think is fascinating.
You rule the universe. You must make HR crazy. Okay, which one is it
this
week?
Which one? I think we make people crazy because we're not identical, but you would think we were. You know, we look that much alike. So,
that's cool. Well, thank you for your time. I know you're
absolutely
really busy this morning, but fascinating to talk to. And
great.
We'll look for your next incredible endeavor.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.